hearing the waves of Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we just lift up Morris. We want to say, speak, Lord. Like of old, speak, Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Are you doing well this morning? If you're happy, just give me a smile. Okay, is everyone happy? Yeah, this side, there's some smiles this side. The Alfred's is showing a smile there. Yeah, so I've got the privilege to share this morning, and I'm teaching on a topic this morning that I'm very passionate about, and I haven't arrived in it, so I'm not coming as one that has walked in it and then say, do this, do this. I'm coming as one that is still learning and is still trusting God for greater growth in that. And for some of you that you maybe you're visiting here this morning, it's like, I might be saying stuff and you're like, that's weird. And just bear with me. I'm going to share this morning on healing. And that God still heals today. It didn't stop when the Bible was finished written. It is something that God still do in this time. And you know what? Why I can say that? Because this week, one morning, I woke up with a sore throat. And I cried out to God, and He healed me. My throat is not sore. So, we read it in the Bible, but I believe it's something that God has called each one of us to walk in. On Wednesday evening, her ankle was swollen, and the community just came around her, pray for her, and she's walking without that. Where are you? She's in the, yeah, God has healed her ankle. We've heard a testimony this morning of Wendy, that 2 weeks ago, God healed your back while we were praying. So, if God is not still doing it today, why is these things happening? He is working. He is alive. And He reveals Himself in Scripture to us as the healer. As the Scripture that Cassie mentioned earlier, in Exodus 15. And it says there that I am the Lord that heals you. That's how He reveals Himself. Jehovah Rapha. I just know Hebrew. He is the Lord that heals us. That's our God. That's the God that we serve. He is our healer. And then we go, and then in the New Testament, it's full of people trusting. Firstly, it started with Jesus, trusting for healing, and people are getting healed. And you know what's something amazing about Jesus? In John 15, verse 19, says, Jesus was answering after He healed somebody, and He said this thing, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing of Himself. He can do only what He sees the Father is doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also do. And then you go through the Scriptures, and you see Jesus walking the streets. He's casting out demons. He's healing the sick. He's forgiving sin. This is the Jesus that said, greater things than these you will do. And that's something that God has called each one of us to walk in, whether in different measures, but all of us, at some point, somebody will be sick. And who will be there to pray? Us, the church. Will you dare to pray for that person? Now, I want to read just some examples about Jesus. He said in Matthew 4, verse 23 to 25, it says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about Him spread over Syria, and the people brought to Him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and He healed them. This is what Jesus did. He healed them. Do you see the progression? He goes about, He heals, and then the people bring more sick. It is almost like it's like He goes about doing bringing the kingdom, and then people hear and they believe and they bring more sick people and they are prayed for and they are healed. And many of these scriptures you will even see in Acts, it's like they're sick, they're being healed, and then in Acts 5, the disciples were, the apostles were praying, and then they're seeing signs and wonders, and then the people were so excited or hungry for this that they brought people and laid it at Peter's feet so that just the shadow can touch them, that they can be healed. Now, I don't believe necessarily that Peter's shadow was so powerful. There was something happening in the hearts of the people when they started believing that there's, in the name of Jesus, stuff is happening. And it's real. It's not far off. It is happening. Another scripture I just want to read here. Matthew 8, verse 14 to 17. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. She got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, you see, there was a healing, and then it says, when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out all the spirits with a word, and he healed all the sick. There's a shot that's happening, and then in the people's hearts, something happened, and more people come. And I believe that something that God wants to come and do something in us, that if they encounter one of us somewhere, whether they get healed or not, they will be prayed for. In our midst, that somebody will trust. Is there somebody in our midst that will pray for somebody that are sick? Because if we don't pray, who will? Who will pray? Who will trust Jesus? Who will trust him? Who will trust him for that? Is those people sitting here today? Jesus sent out the apostles. He gave them authority in Luke 9. So it's not just Jesus. We see here the apostles coming in verse 1. It says, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out demons and cure the diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God. So it wasn't just healing sick. There was preaching of the gospel. There was people was getting saved. And then they preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. And then verse 6, it says, so they set out and went from a village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. So now it's not just Jesus, it's his disciples going out and healing the sick. Then you hit this many other scriptures. I mean, my biggest challenge in preparing for this preach is to decide what not to say, rather than what to say. And so if you can just read through the Gospels, you will find account upon account where Jesus and his disciples are praying for the sick. They're casting out demons. It is the kingdom is coming. And then you go through Acts. And it's just as the Holy Spirit Acts 3, they heal. There's something. It's Paul that was the greatest persecutor of the church, prayed for people and they were healed. There was something of just trusting Jesus to heal the sick. Like the deacons in Acts 6, it says, Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miracle signs among the people. Then Philip, another deacon, when crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. Acts 8 verse 7, for unclean spirits crying out with loud voices come out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. This was the church. This is the church then, and this is the church for today also. That I want to just bring a kind of a disclaimer here. It's like I'm not preaching this message this morning to say that we are the healing church. I'm preaching this message to say we are a Jesus church. And we want to do what Jesus did. And one of the things that Jesus did is prayed for the sick and cast out demons. I think we'll get to the casting out of demons a bit later. But this is part of the resetting that I believe that God wants to come and do, is that he will come and stir something in our hearts, that we will have the faith to step out and pray. And when we don't have the faith, that we say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And we get out there and move out. In my studies, I've spent hours and just reading about guys who walked in healing. And one guy I came upon that really blessed me, he's very funny. His name is John Wimber. And he moved in sign wonders and he just prayed for the sick. But you know what's amazing about his story? He was teaching through Luke, and he was skipping all the scriptures that was dealing with healing. So he was preaching, and then God spoke to me and says, why do you leave that out? I say, Lord, I don't believe in that stuff. I will preach this, but And Jesus said to him, preach my word. Preach my word. And God came to him and said, okay, I want you to have a healing service on Sunday. And he says, God, I don't know what to do. And he got all the scriptures ready to preach his sermon. And afterwards, he prayed for the sick, and nobody got healed. He got home, he says, God, this is unfair. You told me to go and preach your word, and nothing is happening. And you know what? This continued for almost a year. That he, week in, week out, that they got out, and they prayed for the sick, and nobody got healed. For a year. Who of you would continue praying for the sick after that? And it was like, and every time he wants to give up, you just think, God just keep on saying, I want you to pray for the sick. I don't want you to teach people your experience. I want you to teach my word. I want you to teach what's in the scripture. So he says, at one of the evenings of their greatest defeat, they were in the school hall, they prayed for sick, and nobody again got healed. And he said he lied behind the curtains there on the school hall, and he was on the ground, hitting the ground like a two-year-old. He says, Lord, this is unfair. You said we should pray for the sick, and they're not getting healed. And he's like, going, and he's just kind of experiencing this thing. And so he's dealing with this thing, and the next day somebody phones him and said to him, I have to go to work. My wife is at home. She's got a fever. Will you come and pray for her? Now he speaks to God. He says, God, this guy believes this stuff. And he's like, you want me to go and pray? And now he's like, yeah, okay, I'll come, I'll come. Now he's having this internal conversation with God. Because, for a year long, they have not prayed, they've prayed, but they've seen no result. And so he steps out. He drove there, and on the way, he's just complaining to God. He's just like, God, why are you sending me this? You set me up. And he arrives at this guy's house, and he says, the guy, take him into their bedroom. I said, she was really sick. He got into the room, and he said, she was sick. She was sick. He said it like a few times. It's like, she was sick. And he came and he prayed a little kind of prayer that he doesn't know what even to pray. And he finished the prayer, said amen. And then he started speaking to the husband, why God sometimes don't heal. And when he turned around, the guy's wife stood up. She started making the bed. She was healed completely. And that was the kind of birth of something of just God started moving in that. And God said to him, are you finished with your ministry now? Let me show you mine. And I believe that who of you have prayed for somebody that's sick and they did not get healed? I think all of us at some time have prayed. Who of you, when you've prayed for that person, afterwards you felt, I'll never do that again. It was embarrassing. Who of you felt like that? It's like, ugh. I've many times experienced that. It was like, whoa, God, I have to. And then 2 weeks ago, I also trusted the Lord again for healing, and for a while I didn't, and I forgot to pray for the sick, and again I said, God, stir this again in my heart. I want to trust you for the sick, and as far as I know, I don't think there's a lot of people that got healed that Sunday, but I want to tell you a story of four friends in Mark, and I believe something of their attitude is something that God wants to come and stir within us as a people. That we will be a people that when there's somebody sick, we will get out and we will pray. And if they do not get healed, we will praise God and we'll pray for somebody else also again. Or we'll pray for them again. But we will not stop We will not stop. We will not give up. We will pray. We will pray, and we allow Him to shape us and form us to continue to pray for the sick. And I don't know how much of us, of how many of us have it in us to continue for a year long. But will we be that people that contend for this in the Lord? I even said, Lord, afterwards we're going to pray for people that need healing. And even if nobody gets healed today, I will continue to preach His word, because that is what He said, that He heals. He is the healer, and we'll continue to contend for this until we see people are being saved, because God is not only touching their bodies, but He's touching their souls, and he's saving them. He's saving them for eternity. Now, let's just read Mark 2. It goes, it says, and when He returned to Capernaum, Jesus speaking, after some days, it was reported that he was at home, and many were gathered together so that there were no more room, not even at the door. And He was preaching the word to them, and they came, bringing to Him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near Him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above Him, and when they had made an opening, they let Him down on His bed, on which the paralytic laid, and let Him down. And when Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, perceiving in His spirit that they just questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." And He said, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And He rose up, and He rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." I want to speak about whatever it takes, faith. These four friends, I can imagine there was many obstacles in their way. This house was full of people. There wasn't even place at the door to let anyone come in. But they had a faith about them that whatever it takes, if we can get our friend to Jesus, we must get our friend to Jesus, whatever it takes. And I believe as we pray for the sick, it's not about praying just, but it's getting people to Jesus. It's a prayer that connects people to the one that heals. It's a prayer that connects people to the one that is able to save. And in their heart, the only thing that they could see is, can we get our friend to Jesus? Now, it said that that room was full of people. Everyone was there. They had a need. And you know what? Sometimes we are here, we all sit the chairs full, and sometimes we're so focused on what's our need now. What is Jesus going to do today? But there were four friends that were not focused that moment on their need. They had a friend that needed to get to Jesus. And I believe that as something of their faith that was in there, that that it says here in verse... where is it now? When Jesus saw their faith, in verse 5, He said to the paralytic, "Son," and He says, when Jesus saw their faith. So even the paralytic man didn't have faith at that moment. It was awkward. I mean, you're just speaking, and dust is, mud is falling down, and it's this digging through the roof, and it's like everybody is like, "What is happening here?" But there were four friends that said, "I need to get my friend to Jesus, because He only is able to heal." And I think probably they've heard of Jesus that's walking through the streets and healing the sick. So probably they've tried any other physician. They've been to whatever doctor. They've been tried everything. But at this point, they knew that what we need to do right now is connect this person, my friend, to Jesus. And many times I think that we pray and then we think somehow something needs to come from us to pray for the sick. But it's literally just connecting people through prayer with the one that heals, the one that is able to heal. And what's beautiful about this story, it wasn't just about healing. Yes, Jesus touched his physical need. He walked. But this man's destiny eternally was changed as his sin was forgiven. As his sin was forgiven. Yes, Jesus can heal a body, but he can also set us up for eternity and live with him forever. And I believe that it's not just healing for the sake of praying for healing, but it's actually to trust God for people connecting with Jesus and getting to know him and going out and share of what Jesus has done for them, and they bring others with them and those people connect with Jesus. John Wimber says in 7 years they've baptized close to 3,000 people, that as they stepped out and just praying for the sick, people just got saved. There was such a kind of a growth of people just getting saved. And obviously John Wimber is the guy who started the Vineyard Church. And there was a great move of God amongst them. But if I was him, I probably would have given up 2 weeks in or three. I would never persevere. But I see something in these four friends that they pushed through. They said, Lord, whatever it takes, we're going to believe your word. We're going to believe who you say you are. And we're going to trust for people to be healed. So where do we pray for the sick? Not just here on a Sunday. I know some of us would walk in a greater measure in a greater kind of gifting with praying the sick, greater hunger to pray for the sick. But I believe all of us somewhere will meet somebody, a friend, a family member, somebody, a colleague at work, and they would have a headache. Or they would be, this is without being weird, it's okay, can I just pray with you? And then trusting the Lord that his kingdom will come there and that he will do the work. On Wednesday evening, we just had calm. Somebody's ankle was sore. We prayed. It wasn't one prayer. It was a lot of prayers. People prayed and her ankle got healed. God touched her. It's like as we go out, these friends moved out of their comfort zone and they brought this man to Jesus. Will you be though that type of friend that will have that kind of faith to say, yes, I know Jesus can heal. I want to bring my friend to Jesus. And I know friend can be like, but I don't know the guy. Can strangers become friends? Can strangers become friends that we contain for people? You know what? I want to stir in us today that something, that a prayer will arise. That's even, as I'm saying this, he says, but Morris, I don't have the faith to pray for somebody. It's just beyond me. That our prayer would be like the guy in Mark 9 that would say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. That our prayer would start there, and that we will say, Lord, I believe, I read it in the scripture, help me in my unbelief, and help me. And John Wimber says one of his favorite prayers when he gets stuck, when he's praying for people, he's got this one prayer that he prays, and it goes like this, help! Help! There's something of that, it's like, help, Lord, we need you. We need you. It is your hand that heals. It is you that is doing this thing. And it's an absolute dependency upon Holy Spirit to do the work of healing. Okay, so things that we can take out of this story is that these friends that are whatever it takes type of faith, that whatever it takes to get our friend to Jesus, we saw Jesus not only answering the immediate physical need, but he also saw him answering an eternal need the forgiveness of sin. And we saw people praising God as they look upon what God just did and glorify God. And there's something of just that, that I'm trusting, yes, that we will see people heal. And we'll see people getting saved, and that we'll see the glory of God fill every heart, every mind of this is the God that's still alive today. He is alive. He is still working in our midst. He is the God that we are praying for and that we are trusting for healing in every, in yeah, just not just physical healing. I'm trusting that even as we pray today that there is some emotional kind of hurts, deep hurts, that the Lord also maybe heal today, but also start the process of healing. I've seen that many times when I pray for my kids, the first thing when I hear, I'm there, I'm just going to get my hand on them and I'm going to pray for them. And it's something that I run first to Jesus before we run to the medicine cupboard. And then what we do is we pray for them and then we give medicine. So we don't just pray and like leave them there to suffer. But I've seen that when we pray and tend to their need, they get healthier quicker. And it's not always an immediate kind of thing. Like 3 weeks ago, Joel David had this. It sounded, I'm not a doctor, like it sounded like a bronchitis kind of thing that he was barking, like ooh, ooh, like a very deep bark. And I prayed for him the next morning, that cough was gone. But it took about a week or two for just a little bit of coughing to, and it was like that irritated kind of, and it was a journey, it was a process. So let's pray and let's trust and let's keep on praying, whether it's immediate, whether it happens in the moment. Jesus also prayed many times, like for the blind guy, he prayed once and then he saw not completely, then he prayed again. I believe this attitude of these four friends, that we will do whatever it takes, that we'll continue to pray until we see the breakthrough. And even if we don't see the breakthrough, we will praise him. We will praise him because whether somebody gets healed or not, he is still the healer. So it is important for us to remember that. When somebody does not get healed, it doesn't tell us that God doesn't heal. He is the healer. And we need to contend and trust like these four friends for healing. Okay. Can we a bit later? Yeah, thank you, Aunt Bev. I'm just gonna. And you know what, John Wimber, he died. It sounds he did die. He didn't live forever. He did die actually from cancer. A guy who walked in healing. So it's not about becoming high and mighty. It's about being a servant to God's people. And wherever the need is, that we are not divine healing kind of like, divine healing, not the word, but like always, we're not allowed to be sick kind of thing. But we can trust when we're sick for God to heal us. And whatever the result, we will praise him. And you see, we all will one day die. Our bodies, even right now, is perishing. So we're all getting old. I looked in the mirror this week. It's like, where did all these things come from? I can't remember that I looked that old. You sort of have a picture in your mind that you're still that young guy, 20 years old, and then you realize, there's something happening here. I want to actually not make it too complicated this morning. I want to actually keep it as simple as possible. So what I want to do is I want to give a few practical handles when we pray for the sick, the things that we can use. But even with giving those practical handles, I want to explain something that even if you have not walked in it, I mean, after you've prayed for 3,000 people for healing, you probably learn some things in growing and praying for the sick. And there's a lot to learn. But I want us to just start to step out and pray for one, two, three, 4, and just continue to keep on praying and not stopping when we don't see the result. So the example I want to use is, in this room, we have a coffee machine. We call it the red Ferrari. It's red. That's why we call it the red Ferrari. Or we did call it. I don't know what they call it now. But it's quite an old machine in the sense, like when you make coffee, everything is manual. So you have to grind the coffee. You have a portafilter that you put the coffee, grind, and it has to be grind to a certain kind of fineness, if you want to do it this good. And then you press the coffee, you put the portafilter in the machine, and then there's a button you press, and then you need to wait, and you need to check the color of the stream of coffee coming through. All of you is getting less for coffee now. So the coffee runs, and then some people time it and just see it just too long. If you let it run too long, it's bitter and it loses its taste. So there's quite a skill. Now, if you start making coffee like I did many years as a student ago, we started making coffee, but my first few coffees really taste bad. But then as you make a few more, you get better. And it's quite a skill. But yeah, you know what? All of us won't necessarily fancy standing in there and making coffee. And then you have to make the milk, and you have to steam it, and you have to listen to it, or you get the little temperature meter that you kind of, the milk cannot be too hot. So there's a lot of detail and technicalities that goes into. Or you can go to the shop, and you can buy an automatic coffee machine. It's got a space where you put in the coffee. It's got a space where you put in the water and the milk, and you press one button. It grinds the coffee, it taps it, it makes you a cappuccino. If you want a latte, you press the latte button. And I mean, all that effort is just out of that. And I know somehow we need to grow and learn to pray for people in a wiser way. But I'm trusting the Lord for a grace that as you step out, that the Holy Spirit will help us, that He will do the thinking of how much coffee, how much thing, and He will enable each one of us through our simplistic prayers, and that He will touch people and heal them. This morning I cried. I said, God, please help us. I don't know if I'm off on a tangent, like if this is kind of wrong, to simplify it as much as this, but to really come to a place. John Wimber said this thing. He said, like, if you want a method to pray for the sick, here's your method. Depend on the Holy Spirit. That's your method. Depend what the Father is doing. So, and I know that as you start praying, as you start praying for more people, you will learn and you will grow. And he said, after you've prayed for about 2,000 people, you see similarities. But not all of us has that luxury. So somehow I trust that the Lord will enable us, that when we go in, we don't know what we don't know, we trust Him that He will do the healing. The reason why I said, like last year, there was one of the students, she became very sick. She actually, her vocal cords got very, very, she couldn't speak, like, completely, and she started coughing blood, and it was quite a serious thing. And the next day, she was here on the Sunday, and she was about to go to see a specialist or somebody to just look at it. And we pray. I prayed simplistic. Is that a photo prayer? And I prayed as a simplistic, like just simple prayer. And we all stand around and we prayed for her. The next day, she went. Her voice was back. Just like that. The guy who did look at her voice and said, they didn't know what happened. It doesn't make sense. You said you can't, but there's nothing on your vocal cords. It's completely clean. Now, you know what? I have a suspicion. I might be wrong, but it might have been something like a demonic thing that wanted to hinder her to sing. And I didn't address the demonic thing. I just prayed for healing. And somehow, in that simple prayer, the Lord did what He needed to do. And you know what? That's what I mean with the coffee machine. Sometimes you don't know, but you just say, Lord, I invite You to right now here to come and touch this person. I don't know all the ins and outs, but I trust You that You will heal. If it means being set free. The reason why I'm saying this is because sickness comes because of various reasons. It can be because of natural causes. So, an accident or a small thing like a flu, or it's genetic things like inheritance, it's kind of, it can be there. It can be because of sin that you have done or sin that somebody has done against you. It can be because of emotional hurt or things that I know family members, my family, that's actually sick because of emotional hurts that's not being healed and not being dealt with. And so you pray for the sickness, but you're not dealing with the emotional hurt, and then 2 weeks later they become sick again. Or you don't deal with, but all of us, when we pray for those things, we don't know what we don't know. So what I'm just stressing, that we will step out and say, not everything is this, or everything is that. That we won't frame things and whatever, but that we will be bold enough, like these four friends, that get that person to Jesus. Do you get what I'm trying to say? To keep it as simplistic as possible. I had practical points, but I think let's leave it there. I want us to, when we pray, ask the person where it hurts. That's one of the things. So you ask, what am I praying for? Get their name. So what am I praying for? Where does it hurt? And then, whether it's a girl or a guy that you're praying for, be wise. If it's a girl, guys, don't put your hands wherever. Let the girl lay hands on it, and you lay hands on it. I just want to give these things to help us. And then, when you pray, pray with faith, like these four friends. Faith not in healing, faith in Jesus. Sometimes we have faith in healing, but it's you don't have to go and draw something from, your faith is in Jesus. And I want to read a scripture here. My time is running out, and I want to just say the right things in closing here. And we still maybe just want to pray for people, if times allow. Okay, let me say this. So, we pray in faith and we surrender to Jesus, and then we pray in the name of Jesus. So we don't pray in our own initiative or whatever, we pray in the name. What? The name of Jesus is not a little magic word that we use. Why is the name of Jesus so powerful? Why? Because it represents a person. He was pierced for our transgressions. Isaiah 53 verse 5. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. He embodies, he conquered death, he conquered sickness. And when we pray in that name, we pray in the authority of the one that has overcome. We pray in the name of him that has overcome. We don't pray just say, Jesus. Our faith is in who he is and what, and that he's able and what he can do. So it's not just saying the name of Jesus, we pray. But when we say the name of Jesus, we know that he's able. He can heal this person. And then, pray short prayers. Don't pray long prayers. Pray short prayers. Jesus had very short prayers. Say, see. Rise up and walk. And it's Jesus, don't overcomplicate it. When you start praying, it says, Lord, yes, your servant, I pray that you will touch them right now and trust you right now. And I come and I pray in the name of Jesus. I trust in the name that has overcome sin, that you would stretch out your hand and that you will heal where it's hurting. And I have at times prayed for people and I try to reach deep inside of me to get something to pray for them. But I find that times when I reach into him, the person Jesus, when I trust what he has done, he touches. And then it can be those simple prayers that God used to touch somebody and heal them because of who he is. And then I want to say, depend on Holy Spirit. Don't just do your own thing. Don't go out of experience. Ask him. Listen constantly. Is there anything he wants to reveal to you? If he leads you to pray a prayer of command, you do that. You don't step out on your own initiative. Be led by him as far as you know how. And grow in that, in following the Lord. And then, after you've prayed, ask the person to test it. Is there something that they can test? If it's a medical thing that they need to go and test with the doctor, ask them to go and test it so that we can give glory to God. And when they healed, when the doctors say, it was there, but it's not there anymore, praise God, and everybody jumped and we praise God. And something is done in, so praise God for what is, allow those time to get feedback, and then even if you have to pray again, don't just pray once. Sometimes you have to pray more than one time, but just keep on praying and keep, come back next time and pray again. And then you praise him regardless of the result. And please don't say silly things after you've prayed for people. You know what? You didn't have enough faith. That's why you didn't get healed. Or I've heard a lot people say, like, when somebody gets healed, they say, it's because of the love of God that you got healed. But then somebody next to them stand there and they say, but I didn't get healed. Doesn't mean he doesn't love me. So we get sometimes and we say things trying to justify our experience. Let's sometimes just, I don't understand, but I know he can. Can I pray for you next time again? And that's just, and we give glory to God. Whether that healing is there or not, we're going to praise him because he's good. And he sees differently than what we see in that moment. If you're Jesus, you have 100% strike rate. But we are people, we're human. And somehow we need to grow in our faith and start stepping out. But let's step out in that and trust him that in that which we don't know, that he will come in and his grace will enable us to step out into more. I've got 7 minutes. And more, huh? It's more. So I want to trust the Lord right now. If you have some sickness or something in your body that is not like it should be, or like you're trusting the Lord for healing, will it be okay to be like one of the people to stand today and say, I'm trusting God for healing? Is there anyone this today that would say, I'm trusting God for healing? And then I want all of the people to, that if there's somebody next that's standing there, I want you to gather around those people and we're going to pray for them for healing right now. Is there anyone that's trusting for healing? If you're trusting for healing, just stand there where you are. Just stand there. So if you're trusting for healing, just, it can be anything. Even, we felt even if it's, there's a deep emotional hurt that you're really trusting the Lord, come and heal, that you also trust him for that. Is there anyone that even in that sense, trusting God for healing? Okay. All right. Cool. So, those of you that are around those that stand, don't run now. Let me get out of here. I want you to be a friend. I want you to be one of those four friends. I want you to bring this person to Jesus and trust the Lord that he will come and heal. And before you pray, just invite him to stretch out his hand to heal. And let's trust the Lord right now that he will come and heal and touch everyone that is here. And I want to say, even if you don't get healed today, it's okay. We'll praise him. We'll pray again for you. But we'll keep on praying. We'll keep on praying. As a church, we'll keep on praying. And we'll go out and keep on praying. Is that okay? Can we do that? All right. So let's just pray for those. Just gather around those that are trusting for healing. And let's pray.
Jesus.
If they've prayed for you and you experience healing in your body, you just maybe come to the front and just tell us what the Lord has done. If there's anyone that's willing to come. We already have one testimony of a healing here. If you also experience healing in your body, would you maybe just come to the front? And we just want to celebrate what the Lord has done. Because it's in the asking and the thanksgiving that we want to honor Him and glorify Him. Anyone else that experience healing in your body? Praying, let's just testify quickly. Just say your name and what was wrong and what the Lord did.
Oh, sorry. Dis myne. Ek het my rib seer gemaak. En na die gebed is alles oor. Ek is gesond. Ek voel asof niks ooit gebeur was in die vorige keer.
So Lord, in the light of that testimony, I pray right now, each person that's standing in the name of Jesus, we command healing to come to everybody, and we trust you right now that you will come and that you will stretch out your hand and that you will heal mightily in this moment, God, in the name of Jesus. Even if some of the healings will even later in this day, as we heard of 2 weeks ago, that later in the day that they experience the healing. Father, we trust you right now. Come and move mightily in everybody, in everyone that's trusting you, Lord, because your name is powerful. Lord, you are a great God, and we praise you. We praise you for this healing, And we praise you for each one that prayed today, God. We praise you for each one that stepped out to pray and trust you for healing, God. Will you multiply it? Will you multiply it in our midst, Lord? In Jesus' name. Amen. So, just continue praying there where you are still praying. You don't have to start. I just want to read the scripture. And it's in Acts 4, verse. It's just after Peter, I think Peter and John, they prayed for the guy and he was healed. And then they got persecuted for that. And then they got together and imagine you go out, you step out in faith, and then suddenly everybody's like, oh, why do you do this? And I know it's sometimes like this persecution or things that comes our way when we step out and do what Jesus has called us to do. But I love their response in verse 29 from Acts 4. It says, and now, Lord, look upon their threats, because they've told him, do not preach this gospel, do not pray for people. They've told him not to do this. And I said, Lord, look upon their threats. Grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they all were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. I trust you, Lord. If you can just raise your hands with me. Lord, I trust you. I trust you, Lord. I trust you right now that you will come and that you will touch each one of us, Lord, by stretching out your hand, Lord, that you will give us boldness by stretching out your hand, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, that we will have the courage to preach the word, that we'll have the courage to do the things that you did, Jesus, and that we will pray, Lord. But it says that when they pray this, Lord, your Holy Spirit came upon them. And I pray right now, will you come? Will you enable your sons and your daughters to be brave, to get out there, to be like these four friends that had the faith that whatever it takes, that we will step out and we will trust our God, because He is who He says He is. He has not changed today. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We praise you, God. We praise you. We praise you. And I thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Is there anyone else that received healing? Still there. Praise God. Just praise. Woohoo! And there also. You know what? As a church, we need to get excited when this stuff is happening. Because it is impossible for that to happen. But God doing it. I mean, it is not the people around there that hands are like dripped in oil and then I just touch him. It's God's hand that touches people and He heals. Can we just celebrate for those healings? And can we just, Lord? And then, it's just before we close, if you've been here today and you've seen something and you've heard something of the Lord and your life does not belong to Jesus, and you want to say, I want my sins to be forgiven. I don't know God, and I want to give my life to Jesus today, and I want to follow Him, serve Him. Can everyone just close your eyes quickly? And just, I don't want to make awkwardness for that person. If you're today and you want to commit your life, I want to give this opportunity. I don't want to close this service and let somebody walk out here without knowing Jesus. And there was an opportunity for them to meet Jesus. Is there anyone here today that you want to say, I want to give my life to Jesus? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You've got one person. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? Okay. We praise you, Lord. If we can pray with you afterwards and just pray with it, but I praise God. Lord, I praise you that you're the one in the same name that you heal, that is healing. That same name is the one by which men are being saved, God. It's the name by which every knee will bow. Lord, we praise you. We lift up your name, Jesus. Be exalted, be glorified, be magnified, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And we praise you for one more that will come into your house, Lord, into eternity because of who you are, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Morris. That was excellent. It's faith-stirring, isn't it? There was something about this